ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are still in the third section of the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This third section deals with especially prana upasana. And this third section has 28 verses. This third section ends by singing the glories of prana. And here is where we have taken up the discussion following the footsteps of Shankaracharya, who was refuting the Purvamimamsaka's view that only that portion of the Veda which involves actions, rituals, alone is fit to be called as Veda, authoritative, but rest of the things are in what is called unimportant. That is what has been refuted by Shankaracharya, saying that Vedas contain everything that Veda contains is absolutely authoritative. And so he classified all the Vedic statements into four. Vidhi, Vakyani. Vakya means a sentence. Nishayadha Vakyani. Bhutartha Vada Vakyani. And Vedanta Vakyani. What are these sentences? Vidhi. You must do these things. Of course, meaning not only rituals. Vidhi means do this. You must do this. You have no choice but to do this. If you wish the good of your own self. Here we have to remember a very important point. This Veda Pramana, or the authoritativeness of the Vedas, is only for the people who believe in the Vedas. And this Purva Mimamsaka, he believes in Vedas, but certain things he doesn't believe first of all in gods, goddesses, etc. He believes that only the rituals, karma, can give the result. And that is what modern scientists also do. You don't need to bring in God or a creator especially. Nature itself is sufficient to explain the creation. And within the nature, as we said, if you put your hand in the boiling water, it will scald the hand. So you don't need to bring in that some God is sitting there and doing things. But according to Vedanta, which has been so beautifully explained by Shankaracharya, that how does this nature really scald? So there must be somebody who can make everything possible. It is he who is manifesting as heat, as the scalding power, as the boiling power, as the cooking power. So everything what we call nature is created by him. Creation means God or Brahman himself has become everything. So this is the first division that you do it. What to do? Whatever leads to your health, wealth, happiness, long life, not only in this world, but in the other world also, everything is included in this vidhi. Physical health, mental health, physical efficiency, mental efficiency, everything. So that is the meaning of vidhi. And naturally, if there is an injunction, there is also a prohibition. You must not do certain things. If you do, and it will bring you physical illness, mental illness, which we see in front of our eyes all the time. Read the newspaper. A newspaper can be very authoritative, just like Vedas. And that's why I call them Kali Yuga Veda, Kali Yuga Bhagavatam. Why? If you read the newspaper as it needs to be read, then we can become very wise people. For example, every day, at any time, at any place, in any manner, people are dying, people are being cheated, wars are going on, and a person, a rich person, can become poor, even if you study the news of Wall Street or stock exchange. So poor people are becoming rich, rich people are becoming poor. Anything can happen to anybody. Therefore, that is the truth the Vedas are teaching. And if you study newspapers with intelligence, with a gnananjana, with a discerning eye, then we can also get the same knowledge. Then, of course, the question comes, how do I save myself? So that is where Vidhi and Nisheda, these really fall under Karyapara. So a small question comes here. Vidhi, do this. That is an injunction. We can understand that it falls under, leads to a particular action. How does a prohibition fall under that category? So do not tell lie. Simply don't tell. But do not tell, do. That verb is there. Only thing is, it is a negative injunction. Do not do. Do not drink. Do not harm. Do not covet other people's properties. So do not, do not, do not. It requires tremendous amount of effort. Simple example. Concentrate. Do not. Okay, concentration means what? That you have to put forth all your efforts. And is it an action or not? It's a tremendous action. But what about, do not allow your mind to become restless, to go here and there. And that is also a most marvelous example of action. How much effort is needed to restrain this mind and to control it so that it will not go here and there. Therefore, even though Shankara says, Nisheda doesn't involve an action, it really involves more action than even the injunction, do this. So life is nothing but do's and don'ts. That is why the 10 commandments, 5 do's and 5 don'ts. And that is what exactly Patanjali Rishi says, 5 do's, 5 don't do's. Or only he said this one, yama and niyama, 4 do's, 4 don'ts, etc. Bhagavan Buddha's eightfold commandments. So do this and do not do this. So life is involved. So first category of Vedic sentences is do this. Second, they are called Vidhi Vakyani. And do not do this. They are called Nishedha Vakyani. So then certain truths are said. Heaven exists. Hell exists. Other worlds exist. Rebirth exists. God exists. Gods exist. These are called Bhuta Arthavada Vakyani. So, in what way are authoritative? Because if we do not know heaven exists, the desire that it may be wonderful to go to heaven, if you do not have knowledge that such and such a place is a most beautiful place and it is thoroughly enjoyable place. And if you don't have that knowledge, the desire for visiting on a holiday, that particular place doesn't arise at all. So therefore, statements of facts like the existence of all these things just now mentioned is also authoritative because you don't open your eyes and see heaven and hell, rebirth and gods and goddesses. First, you have to believe the 100% then you must pray to God, let me do what you have asked me to do, let me refrain from what you asked me not to do, and then as a result, one goes to higher lokas. That is what we have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Sikshavalli, very first chapter, 11th section. The very first thing is Satyam Vada, means true, speak truth, do not speak untruth. Dharmam Chara, and do not do anything unrighteous. Always do what is righteous. Then of course, do not neglect studies. Swadhyaya Pravachanabhyam Na Pramaditavyam. Never neglect study. Because the more we study, the more we develop the capacity to discern, to discriminate between what is right, what is not, what is good, what is not, what should be done, and what should not be done. And that leads to great benefit, great happiness, great health, etc. So that is what even the statements are facts, and they are called, according to Shankaracharya, Bhuta Arthavada. Then there are Arthavada, means praises. Praise God. Because when God, we are praising our bosses, we are praising our presidents, we are praising our prime ministers, we are praising all sorts of worthless people. Why not praise God so that He can be gracious to you and bestow upon you certain nice things? And then, this is the third one, Arthavada or Bhuta Arthavada, statements of facts, statements of praise of gods and goddesses, statements of praising certain rituals. You do this, you will get great benefit. We are actually doing it in our day-to-day life anyway, naturally, normally, in our day-to-day transactions. The fourth type of vakyas are called Vedanta Vakyani. Vedanta Vakyas means what? The highest Mahavakyas. Prajnanam Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, Tattvamasi, and of course Aham Brahmasmi, which comes in this very Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which we are going to see in this very first chapter itself later on. Atma Eva Idam Upasita, etc. So, according to Shankara, every thing that is taught by the Veda is a truth, and it is for our good. And of all these things, the Vedanta Vakyas, sentences of the highest Vedanta, which are these Mahavakyas, they are the greatest beneficiaries. They tell us, you are not a limited body, limited mind, limited human being, you are not a mosquito, you are not a dog, you are not a animal, but you are Atman, pure consciousness. And so, these are the highest sentences, statements of truth. How do they help? Because by telling, each soul is potentially divine. We can fix our goal of life. Therefore, the goal of life, the goal is to manifest our potential divinity by controlling nature, internal as well as external. And how do we go about it? That is what the Vedas tell. Do this either through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and be free from this wrong notion that I am not the Atman or I am only a small being. No. I am everything. And then, ultimately, everything else is totally meaningless. Temples, churches, books, they're all helps, secondary details. But really speaking, to know that I am the potentially divine, I am divine. What is potential divinity? Not small divinity, not a fraction of a divinity, but I am 100% divinity, but it is that knowledge is covered up by the ignorance. I am the body, I am the mind, I am the combination of B and M, body and mind. I am an individual. No, you are not an individual. You are a real individual, indivisible. So, Shankaracharya clinches and says, everything in the Veda is a pramana authority, and so we have to accept it, not simply only those things which indicate a ritual. O Purva Mimamsaka, this is the truth. Even Nishedha, directly or indirectly, lead to the highest goal, which is liberation. Now, the question comes. So, what is this has got to do? All this Veda Pramana Bhashya, it is called Veda Pramana Bhashya, and it is not in the original Vedaranyaka Upanishad. It is only Shankaracharya's commentary, and this is one of the seven important Bhashyas of Shankaracharya. By commenting, he is helping us. So, what this has got to do with this third section, which is nothing but prana upasana, that is contemplating upon prana as Hiranyagarbha, as cosmic prana, as Hiranyagarbha, as Ishvara. First of all, I become Hiranyagarbha. And then all these stories, all the glories of prana are enumerated. So, Purva Mimamsakas would dismiss all these things as Arthavada. It is only stories and they are not really meaningful, non-factual and useless. Shankaracharya says that they are all very useful. Everything in the Veda is useful because whatever a mother does to her child, is everything is useful. Even her anger, her punishment is a gift. That's what Holy Mother says, that misery, suffering, unhappiness is a gift of God because they help us awake, which they help us struggle to get out of any limitation. As we progress, we see even less limitation is also a limitation until we become totally free. That's what Swami Vivekananda so marvelously expounds in his Jnana Yoga lectures, that every atom is struggling to be free, and there is, don't put any limit to that freedom. Complete, limitless freedom is what every atom, every individual, because we are nothing but living and non-living is nothing but only a combination of these atoms. Some have become body, some have become the mind, and everything else has become the whole universe. So, this debate in the context of the prana upasana of this first chapter, third section, is with this, it is over. Now, there are two things we have to deal with. This third section has 28 mantras, and the last mantra is the three, consists of three famous prayers called Abhyaroha mantras. We are already aware of it, and many times we discussed also what are these mantras. They're the unconscious prayer, 24 hours from birth to death. The life is a struggle only to attain to these three desires expressed in the form of three prayers. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, Pratyorma Amrutam Gamaya. They are called Abhyaroha. Aroha means climbing. Abhyaroha means climb from the lower step to the higher step. And this also has got three steps. Of course, it is not mentioned like that by the commentators, but I am classifying them. What is the very first mantra says? Let me be, let me not become non-existence. That means let me not die. Let me be, let me live forever. Because the first law of life is not to die, but to be alive. And when I am assured I am going to be alive, then we will have to find out what for am I alive. I want to gain knowledge. Knowledge of what? How can I be happy? And what things can make me happy and how to get that happiness? What can make me happy and how can I make or I fulfill my desires so that I can be happy? that knowledge is to know how to be happy. That is the second Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya. We will discuss very briefly later on. I am only giving the essence. And the last, of course, is let me always be having unbroken happiness. So all these three things require pure consciousness. I am conscious, I am alive. I am conscious, I have knowledge. I am conscious that I am not unhappy, but very happy. Unbroken happiness, infinite happiness. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Satyam equates to Sat, Jnanam equates to Chit, Anantam equates to unbroken happiness, technically called Ananda. Now, very briefly, since we know the meaning, we can understand of these three mantras. Asat is explained as death or life lived in ignorance with lower tendencies, continuously manifesting our lower tendencies. That means that which leads to limitations. That is called Asat. So Sat is immortality, the highest state, reached through right understanding and disciplined life. That is why Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara Swadhyaya Anma Pramadaha Matru Pitru Karya Abhyam Na Pramaditavyam, etc. So this first prayer asks each one of us, lead me from the false and perishable to the true and to immortal. The second prayer, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya. Tamas means darkness. Darkness means ignorance. Ignorance means the veiling power that causes bondage, or rather, we will have to put it, that makes us think that we are in bondage. According to Advaita, we are not in bondage. We are thinking we are in bondage, as sometimes you dream, maybe that you have fallen down, you have nice food, dinner, supper, and go to lie down on very nice bed, comfortable mattress, but you dream. You've gone somewhere and an animal attacks you, or you have fallen down, or a car hits you, and then you think, I am hit. But then you wake up. Oh, it is all just imagination. This is the view of the Advaita, that Maya has no binding power of pure consciousness, but it can veil for some time. I am not going to discuss it in greater detail, but we all think that we are individuals. That thinking I am the individual is called avidya. That is, I am not really bound. I am not the individual. I am the universal. That knowledge is lacking at this moment. Like a dreamer feels that I am devastated, I lost all my family, all my possessions, bank balance, I am thrown in the street, I lost my job, and people are ready to kill me, etc., etc. So this prayer asks, lead me, O Lord, from ignorance to knowledge, from inner darkness to spiritual illumination. And the third prayer says, Mrityorma Amrutam Gamaya. Mrityoho Ma means mom. Amrutam Gamaya. Lead me to immortality from death. Mrityu is the whole state of limitation, bondage and corruption. Amrutam is freedom from death. Participation in the deathless reality. What does it mean? It means thinking that I am not happy, I am miserable, I am suffering. That is equated to death. The freedom from this thinking, I am not suffering, I am Ananda Swarupa. That is called liberation. Therefore, this final third prayer directly asks us to be led from mortality to immortality, or from suffering to unbroken happiness. And Swami Madhavananji, who translated this entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad along with the commentary of Shankaracharya, and adding the notes from many other commentators. So he says here, the first prayer asks us to move from wrong orientation to right means. The second, from ignorance to illumination, ajnana to jnana. The third, that let me realize that I am Ananda Swarupa and that is my true nature. So, this is the third section ends. But there are wonderful names given to Agni Prana. So, Prana is very glorious. And anybody who worships this Prana through what? Through a particular chanting called Udgeetha. Earlier we explained, Ud means loud, Geetha means chanting. Loudly chanting with 100% faith that this will lead me from selfishness to unselfishness, from limitedness to unlimitedness, from the individuality to the universality, which will help me gradually shed my identity with the limited, gradually to the unlimited with all. That is called Hiranyagarbha, Virat. So, through the remaining hymns, the chanter of the Sudgita, he can secure food. Food here means desired results, anything. I want to be happy. Here we have to be aware, every desire has only one value judgment. What is that? For example, I want to eat very tasty food. What purpose? I want to be happy. I want to acquire the latest gadget. What purpose? To make my life more happy. I want to have a wonderful house. What for? To be more happy. I want to have very agreeable companionship. Why? I don't want to be lonely. I want to be very happy. So everything leads to happiness. I want to be to know that I am of the nature of unbroken bliss, Ananda Swarupa. I am Ananda Swarupa. But to experience this one, first thing is I have to be alive. I have to be. I have to exist. But existence itself will not do. Suppose there is a person, he is alive, he is existing, but he is unconscious. And a person is sleeping, another example. And another person who knows this person loves a sweet, brings when he is deeply asleep and pushes this sweet through his open mouth. Maybe he is snoring, I don't know. Will it make that person happy or unhappy? It will only make the person very unhappy. Everything has to be done in the right way and we have to be fully conscious. I am conscious, and I am conscious that I love this sweet and I am experiencing that sweet and I am experiencing the happiness that I am getting through the experience of experiencing the sweet. For everything, consciousness should be there. These three factors are beautifully expressed as Sat, Chit and Ananda. And these are the unconscious, very natural prayers that stem from the depth of the unconscious of every creature, including amoeba. Let me not die, let me be alive. Let me know how to live, that is called knowledge, Chit. And let me be happy. Let me progress. Let me evolve. And in this context, some special names are given to Prana, saying that these are the glories of the Prana. What is the first thing? The first very name given there, Dur Namatvam. So if you don't understand Sanskrit language, do not pronounce it as Dur Namatvam. Durnamatvam has the opposite meaning. Namatvam means well known. Dur means as a bad person, as a bad quality. No. Dur means long distance. So what does this prana do? It is so great that it will not allow any narrowness, any limitation to come to it. So how do we know? Because we have seen that story very briefly. Every sense organ wanted to sing this Udgita. That is how the devas, people with good qualities, wanted to counter asuras, the two children of Prajapati. That is, the bad, good people want to counter the bad people. Good people are very few. Bad people are in great in number, as we can see at any given time in any yoga practically. So, door means if one can give up, shed selfishness, that means if one can become more and more unselfish, that means what is unselfishness? As we explained earlier, giving up identification with limitedness is called unselfishness. I am not only thinking about myself, then I am not thinking only about my family, I am also thinking about my village, I am thinking about my state, I am thinking about my country, I am thinking of the welfare of the entire universe. Not only that, I am thinking of the welfare of both the living and the non-living also. That is why scientists call this view holistic view. Even the distant ice caps in the northern hemisphere, they also contribute to the right weather. Let us harm them and then the ice melts, and what happens is all sorts of disasters that happen. How much weather influences human mind, it is even today, even psychologists could not explore properly, because everything affects us. So we have seen that every sense organ is also called a deva. Deva means consisting of, made up of light. What does light do? Destroys darkness. What does it mean? It means jnana. It reveals, grants us knowledge. As soon as light is put on, you remember how many things are there in the room, how many things are there outside the house, how many things are there when you look up, when you look down, when you look through a telescope, when you look through a microscope, how many things are go by unnoticed by us. But this knowledge comes. What is the speciality? It is the manifestation of prana through every living creature, and not only living creature. Prana is manifest in the form of the very existence itself. Do you mean to say that a rock, a piece of mountain, is it having prana? Of course it is having prana. What about prana in a dead body? Of course there is prana, because prana is there in the form of very existence. But for the prana to manifest, it requires certain instruments. For example, electricity is everywhere. So it flows through two wires. Imagine that a wire is broken. Therefore, electricity is not coming to me in the form of tube light, or the TV is not going on, the wireless connection is not coming out. Then what is the way? You join the appropriate connection between the wires. Then immediately prana becomes manifest. Not that it was not there, it was not able to manifest, now it manifests. But to take a piece of wood and to try to connect these two wires with that piece of wood, it will not. Why? Because that is not the proper instrument for receiving or for allowing the electricity to flow unobstructed. So it requires a special type of wire, usually a copper wire or so. So many other wires are also there. Now that is the point here. Even a dead body is not having the instrument. That is why we throw it away and get a proper instrument. Death of the body is not death of anything. Not only that, the great scientists have found out the non-living is becoming living, and the living also is becoming non-living. How is it? There is a live fish and it is eaten by a bigger fish. What happens? To be eaten, it must lose its life. It must become a dead body. Whether in the mouth, outside the mouth, or inside the stomach, it must give up its life. But it becomes one with the eater. Then it comes out alive. So that is how a living thing becomes dead. And a dead thing again comes back to life. Our division, permanently dividing, the non-living remains non-living, and the remaining living remains living, is a false concept. Continuous exchange is taking place between the living and the non-living. And that which makes everything alive, gives knowledge, or makes us capable of obtaining knowledge, and helps our mind to experience that positive feeling called happiness, is all because of this prana. That is why prana is giving. Dur means that which destroys death. Death means limitation. Death means ignorance. Death means suffering. So, as Hiranyagarbha, prana as Hiranyagarbha has to be contemplated. So, prana is far from evil thoughts. Evil thoughts are impure thoughts. Evil thoughts are called death because they destroy not only the thinker, but also others. So that deity called prana, later on called Hiranyagarbha, having removed the evil and death of these deities. Deities means devas. Devas means here sense organs. It helped them overcome death for them. That is to say, it helped them that don't remain selfish, become unselfish. That is called contemplation on Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha means I am everything. So I don't eat only for this body. I eat for everybody. I share everything with everybody. So that is how Krishna could eat one grain of food and become completely remove all the what is called hunger of Durvasa, who were very hefty. How did he do it? He became identified with the smallest creature. And for the smallest creature, that one grain was more than sufficient to fill its stomach. And then it belched with happiness. I am very happy. My hunger is not there anymore. And he added Krishna through that form of the insect, identified himself with the whole Jagat. That is why he is called Jagannatha, Puri Jagannatha. As soon as he became identified with Durvasa and others. And the same thing happened in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. One day, when they were traveling back to Dakshineswar from Calcutta, many devotees were there in a boat. They were all hungry. They got a small pot of sweets and gave it to Sri Ramakrishna. They thought he will just take his portion of it and distribute it. Sri Ramakrishna knew better. This food is not sufficient to satiate anybody, not even one single person completely. So he ate up the whole thing, and they were wondering how one person so selfishly could swallow everything. Then the result of he belched, is my imagination. When Sri Ramakrishna belched with satisfaction, everybody also belched with satisfaction. Their hunger has disappeared for some time. So this is how this what is called complete identity with everybody. Same thing happened when he prayed to the Divine Mother. Because of the pressure of his disciples at Kasipur, Mother showed, now you are identified with everybody. You are identified with me. I am identified with everybody because everything is my creation. And therefore, as soon as this happens, immediately everybody becomes completely satisfied. That is how Sri Ramakrishna, not once. Holy Mother, once a large number of devotees came from Calcutta. The cook came in fright and said, "We don't have enough food." Holy Mother quietly went there and then he prepared, did miraculously, Akshay Patra. Lot of materials have come? No. It was the small amount of food. But then, when she distributed, everybody became completely filled. Their stomachs were filled. They were completely satisfied. They were extraordinarily happy. Such meals they have never had in their lives. Tasty meals. Not only that, still something left out. What happened to Jesus when he distributed 5 loaves to hundreds of people who gathered there, and they were all hard-working laborers, fishermen probably, most of them, and everybody was satisfied. Still, some loaves were left out, some fish were also left out. How? Because he identified himself, everybody. This is the special characteristic of prana, not as individual prana, as the collective prana, as Hiranyagarbha. And so, this prana gets another name. It is called Bhartrutvam. Bhartrutvam means one who supports all. It is the food that we consume. It is digested by prana in the form of agni. And then, the 5 functions of the prana. Prana, yana, udana, samana, apana. With these, it distributes all the result of this digested food. That means energy, to all the different parts of the body as it is required. For example, if somebody has to run, then the legs require extra strength. So in that situation, the prana distributes more energy to save the personality from difficulty or death or deprivation so that he can escape as much as possible. That's why this prana, Hiranyagarbha, is called Bhartrutva, the capacity to support everybody. Prana is the foundation for everything. And so, there is a small story, very briefly, that prana stored all the food, like it stores all the energy through the process of digestion. Then the sense organs, they felt hungry, and no food was left for the senses. So they all became distressed. That means they could not function. The eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the tongue and the skin. So they went to prana, stood in a row and lamented, and then they begged, "Share your food with me." Prana said, "Of course, whatever I have accumulated is for all of you. I will give it to you all. Sit around me." So when all the senses as if sat around, prana brought and gave the food, which is called energy, and then all the senses have become energetic, started functioning as usual. That is why whenever an orthodox Brahmana, before eating food, everything is ready in the plate, but he takes a little bit and he utters some mantras. Some of you must be familiar with that. Pranaya Swaha, Apanaya Swaha, Udanaya Swaha, Samanaya Swaha, Vanaya Swaha. I salute the prana who is functioning in my body in the form of these 5 specific activities and thus sustaining me. And then prana is called samana. Samana means it has no selfishness, it looks upon everybody as its own self. So then prana is the essence of the limbs. And then prana is called samana because whether it is a mosquito, amoeba, a brahmana, or an elephant, or a horse, or a cow, everything, the prana sustains everybody with equal eye, like a mother distributing food to all her children without the least bit of selfishness. That is why it is called samana. And in this, a funny example is also given. Samana is samagana. Chanting that part of the Rig Veda is called Samaveda. So, with intonations, they are like Udatta, Anudatta, and Sarita, etc. And for chanting, one requires beautiful voice and beautiful power. That is the difference between a feeble-voiced person and a great commander who can roar like a lion. When a lion roars, how many animals fall dead of heart attack? Because that roar itself can create a tremendous amount of fear, and fear is death. Prana is called, and by another name, called Angirasa, essence of all the limbs, because the eye is able to see because of prana, the nostril is able to smell because of prana, etc. That's why it is called Angirasa, Anganam Rasaha, the very essence, the supporter of every limb. And it is also called Rasaha, means the joy that one gets, each organ gets, all because of that. And then prana means, remember, the universal prana called Hiranyagarbha is called Brihaspatihi. That is, all knowledge is obtained, and he is the Lord, he is Hiranyagarbha, is manifesting in the form of Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. That is why sometimes Brahma, the creator, is represented as having four faces. Four faces represent the four Vedas, etc. So, prana is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the foundation of the entire universe, like clay, is manifesting in the form of all pots. So this universe is called the world of meaning, Artha Prapancha, and all meanings is to be found in the Vedas. Vedas give us that knowledge. That's why Hiranyagarbha is called the manifestation of Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharvana Veda. And so, whosoever does upasana prana, not as an individual prana, but as a universal prana, as Hiranyagarbha, as Ishvara, becomes Ishvara. So everybody's happiness becomes his happiness. Then what about everybody's unhappiness? Because if Ishvara is everything, there is nothing called this person is happy, that person is unhappy. Both become unreal, mithya. And in knowledge, both become melted. I am acting as happy person. I am only acting as an unhappy person. And both activities, both actions, acting of in both roles, in every role, it only brings ultimately the greatest happiness. Like every actor, if he had acted, actress, actors, whether he is a rich person, whether he is a mafia leader, or is a president of a state, or a humble servant, or a chauffeur, everybody, when they act well, the judges judge, beautifully acted, we could not think that you are anybody else excepting this person. That joy of identifying oneself with everybody, it becomes. That is why when Swami Turiyanandaji, when he came to Kasipur, Ramakrishna said, look how much I am suffering. And he said, no sir, I see you swimming in the ocean of bliss. And Sri Ramakrishna smiled and immediately approved and said, this rascal found me out. So the third section of this first chapter of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad tells us pranopasana, and we are alive, I am able to speak, I am able to think, I am able to express through proper words, etc. It's all because of prana. You are able to hear, you are able to understand, you are able to grasp it, keep it in memory, and use it to advance yourself in life. It is all, whether you are listening to a lecture, or whether you are reading a book, or whether you are deeply able to contemplate, all because of the prana. Without prana, we cannot be called pranis. We become dead shavas. This is the glory of pranopasana. But what is pranopasana? Thinking that I am not this particular individual, I am not man or woman, I am Ishvara, I am Hiranyagarbha, I am Virat, I am everything. Seeing God in everything, That is the topic of the very first mantra of the Isavasya Upanishad, and this is the essence of the Pranopasana, every Upasana. Like Sri Ramakrishna contemplating on Hanuman, became Rama. Contemplating on Radha, he became Krishna. Ramadarshana means through the medium of Hanuman, he became Rama. Through the medium of Radha, he became Bhagavan Krishna. Through the medium of Jesus, one becomes our cross, one the Saint Francis of Assisi became Jesus Christ. His very body has become transformed. This is the process of the Upasana, and this is a marvelous Upasana. And from the fourth section onwards, we are going to enter into the profound Vedantic sentences, Atmeti Upasita, it is called Purusha Vidha Brahmana, and then there only later on comes Aham Brahmasmi. So these are the marvelous things we will see in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Hey Ramakrishna.